Father, we thank you so much that you have spoken to us, that we have before us a complete record of your revelation in our own language so we can read it and learn from it and hear your voice through it. Thank you that your word is living and active, and we pray that we would humbly put ourselves under your word's authority. And we will be shaped by what it says. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are his." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desire of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at this passage, and when we looked at that on a Sunday, I said we would come back to the verses contained in this passage that are a quote from the Old Testament. And we're going to read that verse again now. So it's contained in verse 19. So verse 19, this is where we're digging deeper. During this time. So verse 19, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." As we are trying to understand this verse, we need to understand the context. That's always important. But it is particularly important when the first word in the verse is a link word. And the first word is "nevertheless." So that links us back to what Paul has just been writing to Timothy. "Nevertheless" is a word that means in spite of that, or notwithstanding, or even though this has happened, this is still true. So what I'd like you to do is pause the recording and look back into verse 17 and 18 and describe what has happened. So what has happened? What's Paul writing about in verses 17 and 18? Pause the recording and think about that for a few moments. So, what's happened in verses 17 and 18? Hymenaeus and Philetus, that's what's happened. They've wandered away from the truth. You can see that at the beginning of verse 18. and they have, end of verse 18, destroyed the faith of some. The word for destroy is the same word that's used to describe what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Hymenaeus and Philetus's teaching truly is like gangrene, verse 17. So painful and destructive. So poor Timothy, life in Ephesus is really tough. We've already seen Paul warning him back in chapter 1 and verse 8 not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed to testify. It seemed like he's ashamed. He's tottering, it would seem, on the possibility of deserting, abandoning the gospel, abandoning Paul's way of doing ministry. And Paul has called him in chapter 2 to diligence, to focus, to hard work, being willing to suffer. And that's in an arena or a climate of these false teachers who have come from within their own number, within the church, leading people astray. Nevertheless, so even though this is happening, even though this is the context, nevertheless, we're going to hear something encouraging, something that's going to help Timothy not to despair, give him something that he can be confident about. So nevertheless, what's true? Despite Hymenaeus and Philetus and everything else, what is it that's true? What does Paul tell him? Verse 19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So Timothy is not to despair. He can be confident because God's solid foundation stands firm. Now, how are we to understand that? What does that mean? Well, it seems to me that this reference is to the church, to God's people. So God's solid foundation, the church. And I think that because back in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, so 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul writes, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now, the word that's translated as foundation in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 2 Timothy 2:19, our verse that we're digging deeper into tonight, are not actually the same Greek word, but there's obviously similar ideas. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church holds forth God's truth. That's the church's purpose, which is all of us as living stones. That's what we're to be doing. If we're not doing that, then we're not part of the true church. So God's solid foundation, the church, stands firm. You know, there's all these false teaching, but nevertheless, God's church stands firm. And the reason why it stands firm is because it has these two seals. So look again, verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. So it's one seal, but there's two parts to it. The Lord knows those who are his, part one, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness, part two. So let's look at the first part of that seal, which is the Lord knows those who are his. This is a quote from the Old Testament. So to understand what Timothy is being told by Paul, we need to turn back to Numbers chapter 16, and specifically, it's Numbers chapter 16 and verse 5. Now, I don't know how long you've allocated to do this study tonight, so I'm not going to read all the verses, but to get a good flavour of the passage and what's going on, you need to read chapter 16, verses 1 to 35. So please pause the recording and read Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 35, and then try to summarise, in your own words, the main things. Just try and summarize what's going on in those verses. So Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 35, and try to summarize what's going on in those verses, paying particular attention to the similarities between what was happening and what Moses was facing and what Timothy was facing. So pause the recording and do that now. So hopefully you've read Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 35, and hopefully you've summarized it. So a quick overview. In Numbers chapter 16, Moses' leadership is being called into question. Korah and his companions, they were Levites, but they didn't have the privilege of priesthood. That had not been given to them. And they demanded the right to serve in that way. And Moses responds to this demand or this complaint, this rebellion, by stating that the Lord knows those who belong to him. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see what happens next. And you will see that God demonstrates who belongs to him and who doesn't by the fact that Korah and those who sided with him are destroyed. The earth literally swallows them up. It's a really stark account. Now, when Paul is writing to Timothy, so just have that in mind, what we've seen in Numbers chapter 16, then when Paul is writing to Timothy, again, authority is being disputed. Loyalty to God and his appointed servants, Paul, Timothy, is being brought into question. So what lessons, because Paul is writing to Timothy and he's referencing him back to Numbers chapter 16, so what comfort is Timothy to take, or maybe warnings from Numbers chapter 16. What is Timothy to learn? Well, be encouraged, Timothy. The Lord knows who are his, who belongs to him. God distinguishes. And of course, there's an encouragement or a warning, isn't there, to make sure that you're aligned with God. Timothy is to have assurance that even though there may be rebellion from within, like Moses faced, he can be assured of God's continued presence and protection. God is a protector. He is a redeemer. But he's also a judge. A judge who will vindicate his truth and vindicate his people. So that was the assurance for Timothy, the first part of the seal. The church stands firm despite opposition, because the Lord knows who are his and he will protect them. And friends, we can take real encouragement from that tonight. Even though there is opposition, even though from within the church, often there are opponents that arise that don't take the Bible seriously, we can know for certain that the Lord is a protector. Now, what about the second part of this seal? The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So obedience, obeying, turning, doing the right thing, turning away from sin, turning away from wickedness, obedience is the fruit of faith. So anyone who confesses the name of the Lord, so he's making a profession of faith, anyone who has genuine saving faith, has the life of Jesus within them, they will turn away from wickedness. Paul in the passage goes on to elaborate in verses 20 onwards, and he uses the illustration of different instruments in a house. Some are used for noble purposes, some for ignoble. We'll not look into that again now. We did briefly look at it during our sermon. But the point is clear. Those who belong to God, who are genuinely part of God's church, will have the settled habit in their lives, of course, not sinless perfection, but the settled habit in their lives with God's help of increasingly turning away from what's wrong and pursuing what's right. So with this seal, or two seals, two parts of one seal, there is something really interesting that we can just ponder right now. So a seal is proof of ownership. And in the farming world, you know which sheep belong to you because you put a mark on them, some paint, some sheep marker. And that marker is a specific colour and it's put in a specific place. So I remember having a conversation with my dad many years ago, and I'm slightly going to change some of the details to adhere to GDPR and also to make the point. But I'd say something to dad like, oh, well, could we put the mark here on the sheep, somewhere different to where we normally put it? Could we put the mark here on the sheep? And dad would say something like, no, Farmer Giles down the road, he has his sheep marked in that place. And then I might say something like, well, can we use this colour? And he'd say something like, no, old MacDonald has a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and he uses that colour. And so I'd say something like, so I guess we're going to have to use the same colour in the same place as always then. And yeah, I guess so. And I was wanting to like kind of have multicoloured sheep and draw patterns on them, which isn't great practice, is it? But anyway, everyone would know the sheep which belonged to Richard Cornell, my dad, because they were marked with a certain colour and in a certain place. The Lord knows those who belong to him. That's the first assurance we have as a church. But that's tricky because we can't see that, can we? We don't have access. You know, when we go to church, we don't have access to the Book of Life. It's not on a shelf, a bookshelf somewhere in the church. But take heart, because God knows, and he has given his Holy Spirit as his seal. And the Holy Spirit within the heart of man produces spiritual life, resulting in the Christian turning away from wickedness, which is the second part of the seal. And that's something you can actually see. You can see the fruit of faith, which is obedience. So everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. If someone confesses Christ, but he's not turning away from wickedness, we and they can have no assurance that they belong to God because they don't have the seal. And in fact, the evidence would point to the contrary, wouldn't it? Just like seeing a sheep in the field without the mark, being the right colour in the right place, the observer of the flock in that field could not be certain because there's no visible mark that that sheep belongs to that flock and that particular farmer. It's probably a stray got into that flock from another field. And so as we conclude, let's read the verse again. Nevertheless, despite Hymenaeus and Philetus, nevertheless, despite the false teaching, despite the pressure on the church, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So friends, we can be confident that despite pressure, despite false teaching, despite temptation, despite difficulties, God's solid foundation stands firm. The Lord knows those who are his. And with his help, as we confess the name of the Lord, profess faith, we can work out what he has worked in. And so we can have assurance and confidence as we turn away from wickedness that we belong to the Lord. A couple of questions as we close. Is there any specific wickedness that you need to turn away from? It's always helpful, isn't it, to prayerfully review our lives and ask God to help us to see sin that we need to turn away from. And all genuine believers will be really keen to do that, have a desire to be grown in godliness. So is there any specific wickedness that I need to turn away from? And then secondly, how does this verse, verse 19, encourage you? I'm sure there are loads of encouragements from some of the things that we've been thinking about. So how does this verse encourage you? And but before then, is there any specific wickedness that you need to turn away from? Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio recording. If you have any questions or would like to discuss anything further, please simply reply to this email.